May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. What do we gain from all our toil and hard work under the sun? For our days are full of pain, and our work is a vexation. Even at night, our minds do not rest. It is all vanity. It is all meaningless. Now, I'm sure we can all relate to these words from the book of Ecclesiastes. We may feel this way from time to time, maybe much of the time. There is nothing new under the sun. It is always the same old thing, day after day. The same conversations, the same arguments even, with coworkers, partners, friends, children. And for what? Just so that we can get up the next day and do it all again. We wait for those markers in the year that will break the monotony. Holidays, special gatherings with family and friends. Yet even those days come and go, and the happiness they bring go like the wind. And recent events have given these words written so long ago a renewed depth. Hearing about the violence, the suffering of so many people, makes our day-to-day activity seem even more meaningless. And we all deal with this in different ways. My tendency is to want to avoid it, to turn off the news when yet another story of violence is on. I may want to escape, but weeks like the one we have just had won't let me. So how then should we respond? What do we say to people who live in fear? How do we pray? And what do we say in the face of meaninglessness? Now, these are difficult questions, and I wish I had easy answers. As I prepared for today's sermon, I read a letter written by an African-American Episcopal priest serving in a town that has in recent days experienced much violence, both against young African-American men and the police. And her letter is a response to this tragedy. She writes, "In the face of violence, prejudice, and evil, there are only three things we can do. Name the truth, pray the truth, and act the truth." So let's name the truth. We live in a world of beauty, but is also one of violence and suffering. And this seems to be on the increase. We are shocked, afraid, and angry. And we should be, for it is only right to be angry at the injustice enacted upon others. It is normal to be afraid, to react in disbelief at the state of our world. And yet, it could be that in our distress, our fear, even in our anger, we may be drawn towards hope. And this is why we pray. And it is why we pray the truth. We pray to God who is in the darkness, to the God who suffers right along with all those who suffer pain. And what do we pray? We pray for peace, for justice, and for divine intervention. And this brings me to the third point of the letter. We must act in truth. This means putting our prayers into action. It means seeking peace and justice in word and deed. It means coming alongside what God is doing in the lives of those who suffer. And we do this not merely as individuals, but together as community. As a church united in Christ, we are a sign of peace in the world. And Paul's letter to the Colossians brings us to the heart of what this means. And some of the most familiar passages of Scripture are here in this letter. Our life is hidden in Christ. Seek those things that are above. Clothe yourself with a new self. There is no longer Greek or Jew, slave or free. Christ is in all. Christ is in all. This is the answer to the author of Ecclesiastes. And it is where we find our meaning today. In Christ, we are all loved. And any action we take in this world is a response to this love. And there are things we can do. We can refuse to give into fear, into prejudice, into hatred, and instead seek those things which are above. And this is what Jesus is saying in his somewhat unusual parable about the foolish farmer. To set the scene, Jesus is in the middle of teaching the crowds, and suddenly, as he is speaking, a man asks him to solve a financial dispute he's having with his brother. But rather than give him a straight answer, Jesus tells him a story. And what he says is a bit difficult for this man to hear. For as he often does, Jesus takes us to the heart of the matter. The story goes, a rich farmer has had a very good harvest and is worried about where to store the abundance of his crops. So he thinks to himself, I will add on to my barn so that there is enough space to store all these crops. And then because I will have so much food, I won't need to work. I'll be able to relax and have fun. I will take it easy, lounge by the pool. I will eat, drink, and be merry. And it will be great. But God says to him, you fool. Tonight, you will get what is coming to you. You won't be celebrating and relaxing as you might think. And not only you, it will be the same for all those who store up their treasures on earth. Now, when you think about it, this parable seems a little harsh. Why does God call the man a fool? He is, after all, only saving for the future. He does not seem particularly greedy. So what is the problem? Well, firstly, the farmer seems to be concerned only with himself. There's no thought to using his abundance to help others, no expression of gratitude for his good fortune. And the farmer has fallen into the prey of worshiping the God of me, myself, and I. He is a fool, not because he makes provision for the future. He is foolish because he believes that his wealth will secure his future. He is foolish because he has forgotten all about God. Jesus is not saying here that it is wrong to save for the future or to make a good living, but he is saying to use our resources wisely, to be open-handed towards others, and to live a life of generosity. A seasoned vicar once told me, I have heard many different regrets expressed by people nearing the end of their life, but I have never heard anyone say, I wish I had given less to those around me. Death has a way of clarifying what matters. All that we are and all that we have belongs to God, and this is good news because from here we have the freedom to live generous lives. But what does all this mean in relation to recent events? Well, it means seeking peace in the midst of violence. It means refusing to let our fears drive us away from people, especially those people in need of a generous hand. It means seeking the beauty and abundant joy of life in Christ and sharing this with others. Now, this is risky, and it is not easy. Father Amel, the priest tragically murdered this week while celebrating Mass in a small town in Normandy, is an example of someone who sought to share the beauty of Christ. His parishioners described him as humble and loved by all. At 85, when others far younger were enjoying their retirement, Father Amel continued to serve the people of his community. And he did this in very kind and simple ways. A fellow priest said of him, even in his old age, he was invested with the parish. We used to joke around and tell him, you're doing too much. It's high time you retire. And he would always laugh it off and say, have you ever met a retired priest? I'll work until my last breath. Now, even as the brutality of evil took Father Amel's life, the tributes to him serve as a pointer to the presence of God and the reality of our broken world. And so, in answer to the author of Ecclesiastes, it is in the midst of this reality, in the midst of both life and death, where we find our meaning. It is from here where together we continue to walk our journey towards hope. Amen.